Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the great passage in the Bible on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that He rose from the dead. We could not be here enjoying what we enjoy today if it weren't for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we won't read the whole chapter, but we'll start with verse 50. And in verse 50 through 58 or 57, we find a great personal comfort to us regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us today. Those of us who are saved here today, we pray that the preaching of this passage of Scripture will be a great encouragement to us and strengthen our faith and assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, if there are any of us amongst us today that are without the Lord Jesus Christ, that are not saved, I pray that the preaching of this passage of Scripture will stir their hearts by the work of the Spirit of God and by the power of Your Word to desire righteousness, that they would be saved by trusting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Father, we ask You now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify Yourself and magnify Your Word. Edify these dear saints and bring the lost to Jesus Christ. We ask You to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now in this text, as we read this, you know there's a little bit of repetition. I just want to give you briefly what's going on here. Paul says that when a person dies, he has entered into corruption. And when a person is alive, he is mortal. And so when a person dies and is now is in that state of corruption, in order to be able to inherit the kingdom of God, that corruption must become incorruptible. Something has to change. Likewise, those of us who are alive, we are mortal. And for us to inherit the kingdom of God, our mortality must be changed into immortality. And those two things are possible because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of His death, burial, and resurrection, we then have a victory available to us. And three times in this passage of Scripture, you read the word victory. Once you read in verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. And then you read again in verse 55, the grave, where is thy victory? And then you read in verse 56, in the context of sin, oh, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. In that context, you read about the victory over sin, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in that passage, we are given assurance of a victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, once over death, once over the grave, and once over sin. Now, when you read through the New Testament, you're going to find that word victory a couple more times, but in the context of a saved person, saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the context of a person who is a true Christian, not in name only, but because of his relationship or her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have one more victory. And we'll turn there in a minute, but I'll just tell you, it is victory over the world in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Victory over the world. Now, you know something? I've always wanted to be on the winning side. Who hasn't? I like victory more than I like defeat. Who doesn't? I realize I've learned some things in defeat, but I didn't like it. I always would rather win. And when you're in Jesus Christ, the Bible shows you that you are guaranteed a victory. In Christ, you are guaranteed, first of all, victory over death. Victory over death. Look at it again in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know what? Jesus Christ defeated death when he rose from the dead. In other words, when the time of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ came, he knew and knows that dying for our sins was his intended purpose, but it wasn't going to end there. That after 3 nights and 3 days of being down, he was going to come back up as the victor over the death that he had to suffer. Now keep your finger here and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, which is just a few chapters past where you are, and notice this victory that he won. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. The reason I want you to see it, I know that it takes a little more time for you to turn to the passage, but when you see it for yourself, you don't end up taking my word for it, and it's easier for you to remember. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh, that's you and me, we're here today in flesh, and blood, he also, speaking of Jesus Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That is, he became flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you see that? Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead so that all of us in Jesus Christ can go through death without dying. You said, wait a minute, how do you go through death without dying? This is how you do it. Your body dies, but your soul and your spirit go on living forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you die without dying. To die, according to the Scripture, is to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Do you understand right now, when you're sitting there looking at me, you are looking at a man inside of a man. In other words, it's like one preacher put it one time. He said, the me I be is not the me you see. I'm inside myself looking out at you. Inside of me is a soul that looks like this body. And it's going to live forever somewhere. And because I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, which is what many of you have done and which is what we hope others of you will do, because I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, the soul that is inside of me is united to the Spirit of God, waiting for the day that this flesh will drop. And the moment it does, my soul will be released with my spirit to be with God in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boom, like that. Instantly. And you know what that is? That's victory over death. You know, I know you've been to a funeral. And when you've been to a funeral of a Christian, and I don't mean in name only. You know, today that word Christian is abused to a certain extent in that it defines people who are not Muslims and who are not Jews and who are not atheists. But that word used in that category is not the biblical use of the word. A Christian, according to the Bible, is a person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior or her Savior personally, and in whom now the Lord Jesus Christ resides, and he is the current or she is the current possessor of eternal life. It's not a choice of religion, it's a choice of a Savior. All right, so when you are saved, you go to the funeral of a Christian, you look inside of the casket, you see a body lying there. But may I tell you something? You are not looking at that person. Or you go to a memorial service and there is an urn there with ashes in it, you are not in the presence of that person. You are in the presence of that person's remains, of the body they inhabited while they were here. They're not there. They're gone. You say, where are they? If you're Christian, they are where the preacher says, in a better place now. In a better place now. Why? Because they've gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and their body is simply at rest. And you know what that means? It means what Paul said in verse 54 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It means death is swallowed up in victory. You know, this is a beautiful thing. I've seen this many, many times being in the ministry. It is a beautiful thing. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It is a beautiful thing to be in the company of a Christian who knows he's saved, or in the company of a Christian who knows she's saved. Why? Because they're not afraid of death. They're lying there in a hospital bed, or lying there in their bed at home, or in whatever state you find them when they're about to die, physically, and they are there with anticipation, because they know that what's fixing to happen to their body is not their defeat, it's their victory. They're getting ready to go be with the Lord. I asked an undertaker one time, a funeral director, whatever you prefer to call him. I asked a funeral director one time, I said, when you go, and this is many years ago now, there are a lot of people who before they die are heavily medicated today. But when I asked him this question, it wasn't as common for people to be so medicated as perhaps they are today. And I asked him, I said, when you go to a hospital or you go to a home to recover a body, can you tell by the expression on the face of the remains whether the person was saved or lost? And he said, I'll tell you, about 90% of the time when we go to recover the body, that's what they call it in the business, 90% of the time when we go to recover the body, I can tell by the expression on his face what the preacher's going to say at the funeral. And you know what that is? He said, I have gone in there and there is such a look of peace on their face, a smile sometimes, even sometimes hands that were reaching up this way because of the anticipation of going to be with the Lord. It was a certainty. It was a knowledge. Listen, the Bible says it was a victory over death. And he said, I've been to some where there was such a look of horror on their face. I knew that the preacher would not have anything to say about a personal testimony regarding that man's salvation. That man slipped off into hell, and you could tell it by the look on his face when he left. It's amazing, isn't it? You know something? I am glad there will not be a look of horror on this face when I'm gone. There's nothing holding me. Somebody said, what if you got the news today that you were going to die this afternoon? I said, ha ha! It's all yours now, baby. Glory to God. You won't have to put up with me and you get it all. That's victory, my friend. That is victory over death. But that's not the only victory we have. We also, according to this text in verse 55, have a victory over the grave, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ defeated the grave when he rose from the dead. If you go to Jerusalem today, you know what you're going to find when you take a tour around there? You're going to find an empty tomb. And may I tell you something? They didn't set that thing up and just say, okay, now we can make a lot of money here. That thing's been that way ever since the fourth day. You see, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ died, he had to spend 3 nights and 3 days in the hearts of the earth. But I'm going to tell you something. at the beginning, at the absolute beginning of that fourth day, there was nobody in that tomb. And when that stone rolled away a few hours later, and Mary got to go in there, and Peter got to go in there, and John got to look in there, and there were some angels in there, and there were some clothes in there, but there was no Jesus in there. I'm going to tell you what, he beat that grave. That grave was sealed. That grave was guarded with soldiers, and he came up out of there, and that tomb is empty. It's been empty, and it will be empty all the way through. That grave cannot hold him because he rose from the dead. He beat that grave. He is the victor over that grave. And you know something? Because that grave couldn't hold him, that grave can't hold you. I mean, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth with a trump. He's going to return to this earth with the voice of the archangel, and poof, we're coming out of those graves. That's a temporary resting place. Now, though that event that I'm describing, you just read, okay? But I'm going to read it here in our passage. Then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read it again so you really see it. Look again with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 51. And this time I'll explain a little bit as we go through. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That really needs to be on the nursery door. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you know how fast that is? That's faster than you can see it. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, watch it, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we, that is those of us who are alive, shall be changed. In other words, we're not going to die. Jesus Christ said it this way, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We shall be changed. For this corruptible, that is what's lying in the grave, must put on incorruption, and this mortal, that is what's walking around, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? No victory. Why? Because it can't hold the body that's there. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll give you a minute to find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's in the direction of where you went to find Hebrews, but not quite so far. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so you can see it for yourself. This is what's commonly called the rapture, in case you're wondering what you're reading. You may have heard of that term before. Lots of discussion about when and what it is. I'll just tell you right now, it is a certainty. Look at verse 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So it's not something Paul made up. He's telling you by God's word. That we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That means come up before, pre-event. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing him. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Watch it, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, one time a preacher preached on that passage of Scripture, and one of the dear saints in there was she read her Bible a lot. And she said to him, preacher, she said, I've got a problem with that passage right there. You told me, or the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. But in that passage, it says there, the dead shall rise first. Well, if God is no respecter of persons, why do they get to come up first? He thought real quick. He said, well, they're 6 feet under. They need a head start. That's good. Amen. You know what? So they come up, and then we, listen, if the Lord were to come right now, this very minute, those of us who are saved in here would be changed just like that. I mean, before you could see it, in the twinkling of an eye, we would instantly be changed we would change from these mortal bodies to immortal bodies. We would change from these vile bodies to bodies that are fashioned like unto his glorious body, the Bible says. We'd change like that. And those that are in all these graveyards around here that are saved, and any ashes that have been scattered on golf courses and in lakes, and all the sailors who were buried at sea, boom, out of that water, out of that grave, out of that urn, out of that, you know, golf course. And boom, with a glorified body, and up we go. Grave can't hold it. Don't misunderstand me here. I was going to say, I love to preach funerals. Don't misunderstand me. There are sad occasions, and I understand that. But here's the reason I say that. At a time when you're at a funeral, people are absolutely aware of their own mortality. They are aware one day they're going to be in the same place. And so it's a great opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ like you're hearing now. But not only that, the other thing that I like about it is I like to be able to pronounce after the funeral is over and I put my hand on that casket and it's getting ready to be lowered into that hole. I look down in that hole. I said, you ain't going to win. You are the loser. You got him for a little while, but you don't get him for long because Jesus is coming back and poof, up from the grave he arose. He's coming out of that grave. That grave, listen, we got victory over the grave. I personally am glad to be on the winning side. Now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory over death. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory over the grave. But notice then he says in verse 56 and 57 that we have victory over sin. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, you mean we have victory over sin? Yes, but watch in the context. Listen, when Jesus Christ lived on this earth, he never sinned. The Bible says he did no sin. The Bible says that when he was accused, no man could convince him of sin. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Do you understand? Jesus Christ was sinless. And when he lived on this earth, sin never got him. Now, he's risen into heaven and his body is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. In other words, if you could go into heaven right now, whoop, open it up and take a look, you would see the throne of God Almighty and right hand of that throne, you would see the physical resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting there next to the Father. But his spirit, when you get saved, resides inside of you. In other words, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you literally receive Him. And He is inside of you. He takes up residence in there. And because He takes up residence inside of us, we can yield to Him and He will live His sinless life inside of us. You understand? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. See this for yourself in the Scripture. We'll be in Romans chapter 6. It's to the left of where you are. If you're in 1 Corinthians, just head back to the left just a little bit. You'll see Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 through 14. Now look at this very carefully. Because of His resurrection, watch what we have. Romans 6, 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. We're victors over death. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch it. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. All right, let me give you an example of this. I'll get a couple of helpers, my normals. First, I'll ask for Zach to come. All right, Zach is sin. I mean, if you knew him at all, you would understand why I chose him. No, you'll see. No, I'm kidding. Come on up here. You'll understand in a minute why I chose him. Come on over here. Okay. So now you stand right behind me, And then hold my hands kind of like I'm a puppet. Hold my, there you go. So now this is sin inside of me, right? And so he's going to make me do bad things, like obscene gestures with my hands and bad things out of my mouth and go over here and drink things I'm not supposed to drink and eat things I'm not supposed to eat, say things I'm not supposed to say, go places. You're taking me. The place I'm not supposed to go. That's the way sin operates. And you say, I just don't know why I can't get control over this stinking sin. You know, because he... You know, and that's why, because you got this guy living in you. And he's there. He's there in me right now. Now I get saved. Ha ha ha. And Jesus Christ comes to take up residence in me. Come on up here, Cade. Now you're going to see why. Ta-da, ta-da. Ta-da, ta-da. Get behind Zach. Now get me. So sin says, come on, we're going to go over here and have something. And Jesus says, we're going the other way. Yeah, come on, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, and you know, after a little struggle of 2 or 3 years of putting up with it, you know, I kind of like, oh, I like being in church. Yeah, this isn't such a bad place. I mean, at first it was kind of like, I got to go there again, you know. But then I've yielded to Jesus Christ. Now look, sin is still in me. And I can yield to sin and say, come on, partner, 2 against 1, we got it, come on. You know, but I can yield to Jesus Christ and say, I don't want to sin. And you know what? Easy street, baby. I got this sin thing. Why? Because I've got the victor over sin in me. Amen. Thank you. Amen. When Jesus Christ was here in the earth, he defeated sin. Now he's inside of me. And I can yield to him, and sin doesn't have a chance. Why? Because he beat sin. He beat sin. So I'm still a sinner, and I still have sin inside of me, and that didn't change. What changed is I got somebody more powerful than sin inside of me now, and I don't have to. I'm not in bondage to sin anymore. Before I was in bondage. Before I'd say, man, I wish I could stop doing this. And I couldn't. Now I can say, Jesus, I know you never did it, so help me. And you know something? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. By yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Woo-hoo! So sometimes, you know, it used to be, I would like to continue to sin, but after you get away from it, wow, you know what? You get to finding out how nasty it smelled. If you ever spent any time in a bar when you were younger, and then you happened to go by one of those after you'd been saved and away from it a long time, you go by there and you go, oh, whoa, what was I thinking? You weren't. That was the problem. In him we have the victory over sin. But that's not all. One more thing. Turn with me in your Bible to an epistle in the back of your Bible. And that epistle is 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, not in the middle of your Bible, but way over there right by the book of Revelation. In the back of your Bible is an epistle. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We want 1 John. Number 1, 1 John, chapter 5. And notice there's victory over one other thing. We have victory over death. Praise God. I can face death now without fear. I got victory over the grave. It's a temporary resting place. And I got victory over sin because the victor is inside. And then this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that... This is the victory. See it? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world... But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, I don't know if you realize this, but this world is the enemy of God. And that's why there's so much craziness in this world. People will say to me, I don't know how a loving God could allow these kind of things to happen. Listen, this world is dominated by the devil. This world is an enemy of God. Jesus Christ died to redeem the world. Jesus Christ, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But those who reject Jesus Christ, those who reject the Word of God, they live in a world that is absolutely contrary to God, an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. But you know what? In the meantime, we live in this world. We have to be here. This world system in which we live, this corruption that you see in politics, this corruption you see in religion, this corruption you see in education, this corruption you see in so many areas of life. One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back, and when He does, no more corruption. He's going to run it the way that He designed it. He's going to run it the way that He made it. He's going to run it the way that it needs to be run. And when that happens, the devil is going to be chained up for 1,000 years and things are going to run right down here. There'll be so much peace in the earth when Jesus Christ comes, there'll be no more war. There'll be so much peace when Jesus Christ comes, even animals won't fight with each other anymore. Cats and dogs will get along. Lions won't be eating lambs. And coyotes won't be eating fawns and all that other kind of stuff, and calves. It's going to all change. But in the meantime, we have to live here. And this world doesn't like God. And this world doesn't like Jesus Christ. You say, so how can I have victory living in a world that is contrary to God? By faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. It is the victory that overcomes the world. And He says here, whatsoever, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You say, well, what is that? Well, look with me at verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. Look. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. I don't believe I would challenge God there. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you understand what you're reading there is this? I live in this world. This world is contrary to God. If I go the way of the world, I'm on the broad way. Remember that story? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. When I turn around and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, now I'm on a narrow way that is contrary to the world, but I'm on a way of victory over the world. Because when the world goes down, I don't go down with it. You say, how'd you get there? I changed my nationality. You see, when I was born as the son of Leo and Virginia Wilder, who were the children of, and we could go up the family tree, Adam and Eve. And everybody that's born like that, who does not have a new birth, who is not born of God, is going to die and go the way of the world. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happens is, there is a new birth that takes place. You are born of God. And what happens there is you change your citizenship. You know, I live in the United States of America. I'm called an American citizen. But I want you to know something. I am a citizen of a place called New Jerusalem. So we sing a song that says it like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Something else. Huh? I know He'll take me through. I'm that's my citizenship up there. In New Jerusalem. This world goes contrary to God. I'm going with the Lord Jesus Christ because I've got a new birth certificate. I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, born again. And you know what the Bible says? You must be born again. And that record is that in Jesus Christ is eternal life, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Watch this. I want you to see. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Kay, do you have eternal life? He didn't even hesitate. Yes, sir. Zach, you got eternal life? Sinner? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're in good company, brother. He said, yes, sir. I have asked that question to thousands of people personally. You know what I get? I hope so. Why don't you know so? Because the Bible says you don't know unless you got the Spirit, the witness in yourself. When Jesus Christ is in here and you know He's in here and you've received Him, your life changes, you're a new creature in Christ, and you know something. You know that you have eternal life. Amen. Lou Ann, you have eternal life? No question, absolutely. Why is it that the great majority of people that I've asked that question to say to me, I hope so, I think so, I want to? If you don't know, why don't you know? If you don't know because you doubt your salvation, that's one thing. If you don't know because you've never had Jesus Christ, that's another thing altogether. May I tell you something? You can have victory over death. You can have victory over the grave. You can have victory over sin. And you can have victory over the world if you will receive Him, and you can receive Him right here, right now. I have good news for you. If you're not already in, you can get in. Some people say, well, you just preached all that and condemned me. No, I didn't. I made you an offer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine playing sandlot football? You know what that is, right? You get out in the vacant lot and, okay, you're over there. Okay, divide up the teams. Okay, can you imagine being 5 touchdowns down on the team you're playing on? And you're like, man, we're going to lose. And then the other team says, you can be on our team. You go over there and say, I just became a winner. I just got on the winning side. And right now, you know what? You are down and you are out and you are not the victor. If you're not saved, you are going down with this world. You're going to die and you're going to stay dead. You're going to get in the grave, and from the grave you go right into the lake of fire, and sin will rule you till you die. You say, that's a pretty bleak picture. It's the way I see it. It's the way the Bible sees it. How would you like to change being 6 touchdowns down and get on the winning side and walk out of here with the trophy? You say, how do I do that? You simply receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You saw the picture, sin's in me, but I took Jesus Christ. He comes in there, He says, let me have it. I'll run this life for you, and it'll be a good life. It'll be a happy life. It'll be a victorious life. Thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the victory when you're in Christ. You have victory over death. You have victory over the grave. You have victory over sin. You have victory over the world. That's a great combination. And if you're here today with Jesus Christ, I hope you leave here and say, you know what? Man, am I glad Jesus rose from the dead. I'm on the winning side. I've got everything going my way. And if you're not saved, then this is what I pray. I pray you'll get on the winning side. If you're the victor, Christian, quit walking around like you're the loser. You're on the winning side. And if you're not on the winning side yet, why don't you switch sides? Why don't you switch sides today and take Jesus Christ, the victor. He's available to you. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today for an opportunity to preach a simple, clear gospel message on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll do a work here. First of all, I do pray for our saved people here today that they'll know, hey, man, I got it all on my side. And truly, I don't have to walk around with a frown. I'm winning. I'm winning. Father, I also ask You today, while we've got these folks that are here today, that may some of whom may not be saved, I'm asking You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stir their hearts by Your Spirit now to let them know by receiving Jesus Christ they can easily be saved. Amen. Amen.